You're listening to New Mexico Filmworks on Talk 1260 KTRC with your host, Dirk Norris.
New Mexico Filmworks is a program of the New Mexico State Film Office brought to you by the generosity of Hutton Broadcasting. Today, David Ferry, producer-director at Reels, will join us, and later we'll get to find out a little bit about John Armijo before he starts talking about his films from the 1950s. David Ferry has always been creatively driven. He grew up writing and recording music, and in 2003 was captured by the filmmaking process while watching the Making Of documentary on Lord of the Rings. He went on to earn a BA in media arts, and since then he's produced dozens of short films and music videos, and has worked as a producer-editor at cable television network Reels. In 2010, he wrote, directed, and produced Chamber No. 6, which won Best Film, among other awards, at the 48-Hour Film Project. David looks forward to a long and successful career creating films and to someday be working alongside Peter Jackson in New Zealand, wouldn't we all? Welcome, David.
Thank you.
Really, you saw the Making Of, and that was a deciding factor for you to get into filmmaking?
I had always been interested in filmmaking, but that was kind of where I was like, all right, this is definitely what I want to do.
And where did you attend school?
UNM.
At UNM.
Yeah.
Was that the IFDM program, or?
No, that started the semester I graduated, so It was right before that.
Right. So how did you find school? How was the program? And you attended when, in 2000?
It was from 03 to 07.
Uh-huh.
So it was good. I learned a lot. It was a lot, not a lot of production, just a lot of, teaching you the art of critiquing film and kind of how to think about it, from a very critical standpoint. But there wasn't a lot of production taught, which I actually enjoyed in the end because I learned production through other, other ways. But yeah, it was interesting.
In your coursework, did you ever get to a point where, oh man, this is not at all what I thought it was going to be?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
That happened right away, actually.
Yeah. But it didn't deter you.
No, it didn't. I just did what I could with it. And I, like I said, learned a lot. And
yeah.
It was great.
So when you graduated, did you start working with somebody or start making films on your own?
I had been making films on my own pretty much up until 2010. In 2009, I got hired at Reels.
Mm-hmm.
And then shortly after that, I kind of started putting a team together that I've worked with since. And so, yeah, pretty much up till then, I was just doing stuff on my own.
Right. And your work at Reels, when they came to town, it wasn't that long ago, right?
It was in the spring, early spring of 2009.
So can you describe a little bit of what you do for them?
I'm in the promotions department. So what I do is produce and edit promotional spots, whether it's, on-air 30-second spots promoting our shows or whether it's sizzle reels or sales presentations for our marketing department to use to try to sell airtime or sell shows. I do all of that kind of stuff, just promoting the network, basically.
Right. Do you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, a lot of hard work and a lot of long hours, but it's fun.
Right. And one of the people you work with is Hannah McPherson?
Correct.
And who I had hoped to get on the show today, but she is working. So when did you meet Hannah?
I met Hannah a couple years ago. I've known of her for a while, having, kind of been involved in the local industry. I've known about her for several years, but I didn't actually really meet her until about 2 or 3 years ago. She had me working on a project that she was directing.
Yeah, that's her name is one of those that you hear quite a bit as one of the local filmmakers.
Yeah.
So did you guys work on the 48-Hour Film Project together?
This last one we did, yes.
Uh-huh. And that was which one?
The Albuquerque 48-Hour Film Project, and she directed and I produced The Real Deal.
Right, that was with the folks in the RV out in the middle of nowhere, and yeah, I really enjoyed that one.
Awesome.
And you did Chamber No. 6 a couple of years ago.
Yes.
And what was that about?
That was kind of about these four people in a broken down Louisiana bar in the 1930s or 20s, and they're just playing a game of Russian roulette. They're all kind of desperate. They all need this money for something, and kind of one by one, just get taken out till the end, and just kind of a fun little quick violent.
Do you remember what the elements were for that?
The prop was a bag. The line was, oh my goodness, I can't even remember.
Yeah. I personally think the 48-hour film project in particular is a really good event for independent filmmakers. I think you learn some things or get exposed to some things you might not otherwise, in particular, not getting any sleep and being under the gun and, you know, lots of pressure and that sort of thing. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Absolutely agree. It's great for practice and high stress situations. And, you know, in the end, you get to see your movie screened at a venue and a lot of people get to watch it. And, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and this last one, there's a huge crowd. I mean, the chemo was practically standing room only, which just kind of is a testament that this thing has grown over the years.
Every year, it's like, you know, 5 or 10 more teams than there were last year.
Right.
So, yeah, it's absolutely.
Something like 53 teams this year.
Yeah.
So you think you will continue doing that, or is that something you do a couple of times and then move on to other things?
This was actually my 6th time doing it. So I always say right afterwards that I'm not going to ever do it again. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, right. And have you filled different roles in each of the years that you have participated?
The first year I did, the last 5 I've kind of been the same kind of role where just the producer and kind of sometimes I help write or, you know, whatever, but I kind of just, my main goal is to just bring a really solid team together and have them do what they're good at.
And is there a pretty good talent pool to draw from to do that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've met so many people in the last couple of years who are so talented and just, yeah, there's so much talent in Albuquerque, definitely.
Yeah, and I think one of my mantras is getting our local filmmakers exposure, so people can see the talent and be able to see the films that are being made here.
Right.
Yeah. So you are now working on a new film with Hannah called Those Who Wait.
Yes.
So tell us about that.
Well, it's our first feature, and it's something Hannah spent the early part of the year writing, and she has a family cabin up in the Pecos Mountains, so we thought it was the perfect place to shoot something, and she wrote this excellent script basically about a young woman who recently was in a car accident, and a traumatic car accident, so she kind of, when she gets out of the hospital, goes up to her family's cabin to get some time away and work on her thesis and just kind of recover, and she's been struggling with some mental issues. With, she doesn't know whether it's, you know, stuff that's really happening or stuff that's from her, you know, mental trauma. And so she kind of deals with some interesting things while she's there.
Interesting.
But yeah, it's basically just about her kind of finding out who she is and kind of coming to grips with the things that have happened to her.
And you're in pre-production or where are you at in the...
We are in pre-production right now. We have a campaign on Indiegogo, indiegogo.com/thosewhowait, to raise money to fund the film.
And how much time is left on that campaign and how are you doing on it?
We're about 12 days away right now, and we're not doing as good as we had hoped. We've got a lot of contributors, and we've made, I think, about $8,000, which isn't, you know, it's nothing to laugh at, but it's also not near our goal yet. So we have ideas to push hard to the end and try to get it up, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the biggest things too, is for the local filmmakers, I think, is getting the kind of the influx of money,
right?
Getting folks to support these films. And I don't know, do you have any ideas about how we do that, how we get, and my thought again, as the more exposure our filmmakers have, the more likely folks outside that have money will take an interest.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, and I don't think there's an easy answer. And I mean, I'm fairly new to trying to raise money and do things like that and get mm-hmm. investments and stuff. And I think the best thing you can do is just, you know, make good films and try to promote yourself in the most real, you know, way you can. And I think that in a lot of ways, the work that you do speaks for itself. And I know that with, especially working with Hannah and Rebecca and Corey, the cinematographer, it's just a lot of it is just people knowing they do good work, and it just mm-hmm. goes hand in hand with that. So there's not a lot of, you know, having to convince people that we do good work, but there's still the main, you know, for like a campaign like this, you need exposure. That's the hard part, is just getting hundreds of thousands of people to see it.
Right.
So that everyone donates a little bit and you get what you need. But as far as getting, you know, bigger money from investors and stuff, that gets a lot trickier. And in Albuquerque, it's a lot harder. We have some connections in Los Angeles right now that we're talking to, trying to get us hooked up with financiers and maybe right. hook up a producer to the project who has a bigger backing and can get bigger money.
Yeah. David, we're gonna take a break here and continue talking. You're listening to Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and we'll be right back with David. We're back, and you're listening to New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. And my guest is David Ferry. He is going to be producer on a movie called Those Who Wait with Hannah McPherson. And you're running an Indiegogo campaign. Let me ask you, why did you choose Indiegogo rather than Kickstarter?
We did a lot of research up front, and it was a big debate in our group because, you know, Kickstarter has kind of the goal. You reach the goal, you get the money. If you don't, you don't get the money. So it's kind of a more exciting campaign to go through Kickstarter, but it's also a lot riskier. And, you know, with the amount that we wanted to raise and the amount of time that we were going to put into the campaign and the videos that we were going to create for the campaign and all that, we felt that it was best in the end to go with Indiegogo so that we would at least get some money, mm-hmm. Even if we don't reach our goal. And there was several reasons. It seems like the better choice for independent film than Kickstarter,
mm-hmm.
In general. So,
yeah, and that's the big difference between Indiegogo and Kickstarter. Is Indiegogo, you get the money regardless. You pay a higher percentage if you don't reach your goal, but you get everything that's been donated.
Right.
However, with Kickstarter, I think Kickstarter is maybe a little more well known, and maybe that's because it was like the first of the crowdfunding programs out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what is the website again for your Indiegogo campaign?
It's indiegogo.com/thosewhowait.
Okay. And for the movie, what's your website for the movie?
The movie website is thosewhowait-movie.com.
And you have some trailers up?
We do. We have a trailer, and we have lots of little fun behind-the-scenes videos to get people excited.
Now, there was one little video. Were you sitting in a chair in the forest?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I thought that was very good.
Yeah, that was just kind of just messing around. We thought it'd be funny to do something.
Interviewing the producer.
Yeah.
I really like that. So who is the cast and who's the crew on this?
Well, we have an excellent crew. Obviously, Hannah's writing and directing, and we have Corey Weintraub, who is an excellent cinematographer. He's doing our cinematography, and Katie Murphy will be production designing, doing the production design, and Bill Clement will be doing sound. I'm going to actually be editing as well as producing.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as cast, we have an excellent cast. Rebecca Wiggins is our lead, and a lot of local talent. We have Dylan Kennan, who's been in quite a few things, mm-hmm. and Loose Reins. Mm-hmm. Someone we're really excited about, Kent Moran, is he's not local, but he's really got a good career going, and I think he's going to be a huge help to our project. And then lastly, Kenneth Miller is a young person who's just about to move out of New Mexico, and he's about to blow up. He's been in some really cool stuff. So definitely have a really solid young cast that with lots of potential.
That's terrific. It's nice to be able to see that potential, I think, if you can see it in somebody and say, man, you're going to do some stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
And are you going to be applying for the 25% tax rebate?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. So that'll be a process in itself, but they make it as painless as possible.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. But
yeah, well, I'm not saying there's no pain at all.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't done it yet, but I'm sure it's going to be tricky. And from what I've heard, it can be quite a wait, but it's still a great opportunity, and I'm sure it'll be very useful in the end.
Yeah, and you'll be dealing with some of the folks in the film office, and they're very good at it. And
yeah.
You know, they're there to help, so they answer all their questions and everything.
Absolutely.
And I ask kind of all the local filmmakers about that, because there's some people that say, well, you know, our budget just doesn't call for the the effort that it takes to get $300 back or something like that.
Right.
So I guess there's some kind of tipping point. That, that 25% really does make a difference to us.
Oh, yes, it would definitely make a difference on this one, for sure.
And what's your shooting schedule? How long are you going to be shooting?
It's going to be 2 weeks of production. Mm-hmm. The schedule isn't set yet. We were originally going to shoot in September, so we had our schedule set and everything figured out, but we pushed back, unfortunately. And unfortunately, we had to push back all the way to spring because the winter in the mountains is not
A good.
Yeah, it's just hard to shoot up there. So
sure.
We're going to be shooting in April for probably about 2 weeks straight. So.
Uh huh. And you had a recent reading, didn't you?
Yes, we had a table reading with all the actors coming together. The only one who wasn't able to come was Kent Moran, and he was in L.A., so he Skyped in. But it was great to have all the actors together and read the script. And
oh, that's great. He Skyped in. I think that's terrific.
Yeah. It was really cool. So there's a video of that, quick little video of that on our page.
Right.
And also we're having an event this Sunday to promote our campaign at Geckos from 5 to 8 p.m.
Uh-huh.
So that should be a lot of fun.
And where is Geckos?
It is on Academy, Academy and I believe San Pedro area, San Mateo area.
Mm-hmm. And everybody's invited, and it's a fundraiser?
Yes, they're going to be giving us 10% of their proceeds,
and
we're going to be taking donations and just kind of probably present some of our content and have a good time.
You know, it seems like there have been some other groups that have done kind of a similar thing. They'll have a fundraiser at a local restaurant or bar, and there just seems to be a tremendous amount of support from those businesses for the movie industry.
There is. It's really great, and it's good for both teams. I mean, we invite a couple hundred people or so that they wouldn't be normally having
right.
That in their business, and they give us the venue, so
it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, terrific. So, David, what's on the horizon for you?
I'm just trying to get through this project for the next year. Probably be working at Reels for the foreseeable future, and just keep trying to make movies and reach my goal of being creative and just having fun with what I do.
Right, and eventually getting down to New Zealand.
That is the goal.
Real quick, what are your feelings about shooting at faster frame rates? Peter Jackson with Hobbit is doing, 48 frames per second or something?
Yeah, I'm very open-minded. I do agree that technology is advancing and that people are always, they always kind of frown upon it at first, but I think that it's going to be great. And once people get used to it, they're going to really like it. And it's really going to change the way that we watch films. I mean, there will always be that classic look that we love, but I don't think that means we shouldn't advance. So.
Yeah, it's anytime, like I said, anytime there's a new technology, there are those that are loyalist to the old way and those who are really excited about the new way. David, I really appreciate you being on the show today. And again, real quick, what is the website for your movie?
Thosewhowait-movie.com.
Terrific. Wish you the very best of luck. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
All right. This is New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and we'll be right back to talk a little bit with John Armijo. Back, and I'm your host, Dirk Norris. This is New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. You can hear this show streaming on Talk 1260 KTRC by going to santafe.com and clicking on the live stream link. You can also hear this and previous shows on podcast by going to santafe.com and clicking on the podcast link. On the phone, I have John Armijo, who's been providing historic glimpses of films on this show for quite a while, but today we get to actually talk with him. John is in his 19th year at the State Film Office. His job title is Film Historian and Research. John began his career as a fashion photographer in Chicago in 1966, and later in Los Angeles, he combined fashion with glamour photography. He was also a photographer for Robert Kennedy's campaign headquarters during the 1968 California primary. In 1969, he was James Brown's personal photographer for Star Day King Records during a concert tour through Southern California. John also has a background as a motion picture and television still photographer, advertising art director, and illustrator. He was also an account executive and represented artists and photographers in Chicago for several years. Part of what John does at the film office is coordinate and manage the filing of tax rebate forms between the film office and the Department of Taxation and Revenue, and he also answers requests for location information and updates the online bulletin board. Welcome, John.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So your career... you were mostly in photography, marketing, advertising, that sort of thing, and then you got into film somehow. How did that happen?
Well, while I was in Los Angeles, I picked up some one of the models that I photographed, and I can't think of her name right now, but she got me a gig through her agent shooting some makeup stills for a film called The Night They Raided Minsky. And then I got some other word-of-mouth stuff. I wasn't in the union then. It was very difficult to break into the Cinematographer's 600 union. So I just picked up little independent films here and there and in between the fashion and the glamour stuff. And then when I moved back to Chicago, and I talked about this on our show a while back, I went to work for Panel Ciné. And he hired me as a still photographer, so I shot some stuff there and some TV commercials, and then picked up some still photography in New Mexico in 84 for The Prodigal Planet.
Hmm. And that's what brought you here?
No, actually, I got on the ground floor of the cable TV business and stayed there.
Oh.
I was hired as a marketing director for Mickelson Media Cable Television. They owned five systems in New Mexico, and they called them SMO, Small Multiple System Operators.
Mm-hmm.
And they had several coast-to-coast, so I worked there, and I worked for Bernalillo Cable TV after Mickelson Media was bought out by a giant multi-system operator out of Denver, Colorado. So I went to work for Bernalillo KB as a marketing director.
And when did you start with the film office? And what had the film office been formed?
It was formed in 1968. The first state film office in the United States.
Right. Okay.
So I started in 1993.
And your duties were what?
I was hired as a location manager.
Oh, okay.
My title has changed about a half a dozen times since then.
That's progress. So with your film career, what was the first film you worked on?
The Night They Raided Minsky's.
Right, and you were telling me a story about, some shenanigans you guys got into in some town.
Oh, that was Goodbye, Fat Larry.
Oh, okay, a different film.
Yeah, we four-walled Denver.
Uh-huh.
And we opened the same day that two Hollywood produced pictures opened. And we outsold them. They were gone the next day. We stayed a month. But we got thrown in jail for putting up posters without a permit.
What permit?
Twice. Twice. But the Denver police were very kind.
Ah, well, that's...
I mean, they didn't book us or anything.
Yeah.
They just told us, don't do that again. So after the second warning, we said, okay, we won't.
So what the film industry in New Mexico, you have seen grow and change over the many years. What has been, what's been the biggest change that kind of has an impact on you?
Well, the rebate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that changed the playing field for filming in New Mexico, just, you know, enhanced it tremendously. I mean, 1993, let's see, I think we had 12 films made in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, pretty good. And it stayed about that between 12 and, say, 8 films. Up until the rebates kicked in,
and the rebates were kind of in its current form. Basically, were started under the Johnson administration.
Right. Originally, it was a 15% rebate.
But Governor Cargo was real interested in getting movies here too. And was there some kind of a offering? I don't know if it was necessarily a rebate, but some kind of incentive.
The incentive was New Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Was the beauty of New Mexico. And Cargo, actually a group of film buffs, God, I'm forgetting all their names now, but Max Evans was part of it,
mm-hmm.
that group, and they brought this idea to Cargo in 1967.
Mm-hmm.
And they explained the economic benefit of it, and he said, great, let's do it. So 1968, they put in the new state film office.
They went out to California, didn't they?
They went to Los Angeles, so the governor did, and this group of individuals that became like a film commission, actually. And they went to visit all the producers, and lo and behold, they brought back... God, I think there was 3 films on that one trip, and between 68 and 69, there were like 14 movies were brought in just from that one trip.
Wow. And nobody else in the country was really doing this, right?
Not a soul.
Yeah. So that's, I think, a lot of foresight on people's part, seeing the advantages of having film here.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they just... They just took Hollywood by storm, and everyone just loved Cargo.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, they're during I can't think of the name of the film right now, but they were shooting up around Cimarron, and the town's merchants kind of jacked up the prices, and the director of this film called up Cargo, and Cargo flew out there in a private plane and got all the city fathers together and told them to, you know, bring down their menu items to the what they were before the film company got there.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone complied with it, and the film company stayed in Cimarron filming, and it was just a happy ending. But, you know, for Cargo to just take off to save that film from leaving town was pretty amazing.
Kind of unusual. you do some presentations and lectures and that sort of thing on occasion, don't you?
Well, mainly presentations. I just did one recently for the New Mexico Statehood Centennial Film Series last Wednesday at the Chemo Theater.
And what was that?
It was, I introduced The Man Who Fell to Earth, and that was the eighth screening in the series, and there's four more to go.
Right. And are you going to be doing any other presentations?
No, that was the only one.
Oh.
They asked someone different every time.
Oh, every time. And why did they ask you for this particular film?
Because they just needed someone from the film office.
Oh,
I think our director, Nick Maniadas, introduced Easy Rider.
Uh-huh.
Sometime earlier.
Okay.
So they just needed someone, and they're always looking for people that have worked in the films that they are, you know, screening, crew members, whatever. So if any of you are out there, call up Paul at the Chemo.
Yeah, okay. And real quickly, before we run out of time, you were also involved in a book called 100 Years of Filmmaking in New Mexico.
Right. It was co-produced by the film office and the New Mexico Magazine. And J.B. Smith and I and Kelly Cassande from the film office,
mm-hmm.
I did research, and they wrote certain sections on the film industry and on the history of J.B. wrote on about the evolution of cinematography and cameras and equipment.
It's a really nice book and really informative.
It is, yeah. We've got great response from it.
Yeah. Well, John, we're going to be taking a break here, and when we come back, you're going to be talking about films from the 1950s that
there
have been made in New Mexico, right?
That's right.
Okay. You're listening to New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. We've been speaking with John Armijo, and he's going to be back in just a minute. Thanks for listening. Mexico Film Works, and we're back with John Armijo, who's going to be giving us a little insights on the 1950s movies here in New Mexico.
That's right, Dirk. To paraphrase a Johnny Rodriguez song, I'm still stuck in the 50s. There were a bunch of really good films then. One of my favorite westerns was Cowboy. It starred one of my favorite actors, Glenn Ford. This was produced by Columbia Pictures in 1958 and directed by Delmer Daves, and who's one of the top directors of his time. And a screenplay was written by another legendary filmmaker, Dalton Trumbo, along with Edmund H. North. Filming was done at Bonanza Creek Ranch, San Ildefonso Pueblo, and at Camel Rock in Tezuque. Co-starring with Ford was Jack Lemmon, Brian Donlevy, Anna Cashvey, Dick York, Richard Jekyll, Strother Martin, and Ben Zeller. If you're looking for a good Western to cuddle up with tonight, this is the one. In a Variety magazine article celebrating Ford's career after his death in 2006, New Mexico native and author Max Evans recounted a story about a writer who decades ago was compiling information from real working cowboys about Western movies and Hollywood's treatment of their world. and they consistently mention Glenn Ford as the one guy who always got it right. Evans also added that Ford was the most authentic of all the actors who ever donned spurs and a Stetson, and of all the Western actors, Ford actually wore his hat right. He knew how to crush the hat just so and how to put it on his head. Ben Zeller, also a New Mexico native who worked with Ford on Santee, made in New Mexico in 1972, had this to say about him in the article. People were in awe of him, but he was just so easy, so naturally good at what he did. I played a town drunk and came in every morning and had a cup of coffee with him. Nothing about him that set him off as a star. Max Evans' novel, The Rounders, was adapted for the screen in 1965 and was one of Glenn Ford's biggest hits. In 1953, famed director Elmo Williams shot The Tall Texan in Deming and at the City of Rocks State Park nearby. This is another film to get acquainted with. After returning back to L.A., he and his wife, Lorraine, were so impressed with the real cowboys who wrangled and performed stunts for The Tall Texan that they decided to come back to Deming to make a documentary about real cowboys. The name of the doc was called The Cowboy, and it was produced by Lippert Pictures, who also produced The Tall Texan. The documentary had four narrators, Tex Ritter, William Conrad, John Denner, and Larry Dobkin. Larry Dobkin, by the way, narrated the 1958 TV series Naked City, and he spoke one of the most memorable taglines in the history of television. This may ring a bell. There are 8 million stories in the Naked City. This has been one of them.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
I do, yes.
The first and only screening of The Cowboy was in Deming in 2005. Kit Parker Films, a distributor of Lippert Pictures, provided the restored film for the occasion. Amazingly, all but one of the original cowboys from both the feature and the documentary were in attendance, as was I. This was another film I introduced. The cowboys were from Magdalena and from around Luna County, and they represented the Spanish Starrup Dude Ranch and the G.X. McSherry Ranch. Lippert Pictures, in business from 1945 to 1956, was another company that proliferated in B pictures, and maybe a few A's or B pluses like The Fly, The Tall Texan, Little Bighorn, and The Steel Helmet, just to name a few. Robert L. Lippert, Jr. took pride in producing low-budget films that still offered good entertainment, and he also knew talent when he saw it. In 1949, he hired Samuel Fuller, then a newspaper reporter with no film experience, and gave him carte blanche to create and direct a film about Bob Ford, the man who shot Jesse James. Fuller also got his name above the title. I Shot Jesse James was released in 1949 and was a box office hit and a critical success, and today it is considered a classic. Dirk, this reminds me of a story about a real cowboy. In a past life, I repped a photographer in the Windy City who I'll call Bob, a mighty fine photographer at that. Bob shot a lot of Marlboro's merchandise catalogs and print ads, and every now and then that sent him somewhere in the United States or to Canada to look for the next Marlboro man. Leo Burnett, who handles the Marlboro account, sends photographers out every month in search of the perfect Marlboro man. In fact, Marlboro has shot many ads and catalogs here in New Mexico. And to be a Marlboro man meant that every inch of you had to be defined by Marlboro's standards of what the Marlboro man should look like, from top to bottom, starting at about 6 feet, preferably with a chiseled face and just the right amount of weathered skin, and on and on. In fact, the first Marlboro hat was designed in the 1960s by Mann's Hat Shop in Albuquerque over on Central Avenue. Well, Bob got a call from an executive at Leo Burnett who worked on the Marlboro account and told him to head to New Mexico to photograph the foreman of a ranch in Sierra County. After a long and dusty drive to the ranch from Albuquerque, he was greeted at the gate by a cowboy that stood 5'6" and was way too old for the part and bald to boot, definitely not the Marlboro type. when Bob introduced himself and said he had an appointment with the foreman, the guy said, "You're looking at him." Bob was dumbfounded, but nonetheless, he shot a few rolls of film, and what was supposed to be a two-day shoot turned into a couple of hours. Evidently, an executive from Burnett's New York office had made a request, and the executive in the Chicago office misunderstood that request, which turned out to be nothing more than a gift to the foreman for a hunting trip the guy from New York and his agency buddies took at the ranch. The gift was a portrait of the cowboy on his trusty steed, which he very much appreciated, by the way. Ah, the good old days of advertising and expense accounts, when spending money was as easy as 1, 2, 3. Dirk, I remember one time my boss called me into the office to tell me that I wasn't spending enough money on clients. Man, I miss those days.
Yeah, absolutely, John.
Okay, Dirk, giddy up.
All right, real quick.
Remember the TV show Quick Draw McGraw? Of course you do. It premiered in 1959 and was produced by Hanna-Barbera. Can you name Quick Draw's co-stars? Well, you've got Baba Louie, his donkey, Snooper, Blabber, Hoggy Doggy, Doggy Daddy, Snagglepuss, and Snuffles, the Bloodhound. You knew that, right?
I did. All right, John, thanks very much.
You bet. Bye.
This is New Mexico Filmworks on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio, and we'll get you next week.
This ain't no place to lose your mind. This ain't no place to fall behind. Pick up your crazy.